Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. I am joined today once again by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Monday as we begin the month of December. There's a lot we want to catch our listeners and clients up on, so thank you for dropping by today.
Thank you, Dan. Always good to be with you.
And with that, Shane, I know we have a lot to cover with respect to geopolitics, perhaps beginning with the Russia-Ukraine war. There has been some renewed efforts in recent weeks to achieve some form of a peace deal. So can you bring our listeners up to speed in terms of who is involved in these latest talks, what the Trump administration's peace plan proposal consists of, and how do you ultimately see this playing out?
Yeah, there's been a lot that's transpired in the last week and a half, starting out with a 28-point plan from President Trump, which has been, kind of presented to both sides, Russia and Ukraine. And officials from the Trump administration recently met with some from the Ukrainian delegation to go over it. And right now, Steve Witkoff, who was instrumental in the Israel-Hamas deal for the U.S. He is on his way to Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin tomorrow. So tomorrow will be a big day. I think, as you look over this 28-point plan, there'll be pieces that get changed. Some pieces may get removed. But, what we're starting to see take place is that, Ukraine would be recognized as a sovereign nation. However, they would have some limitations, like how many troops they can have. The current plan, 28-point plan, has a cap of 600,000 troops that they're allowed to keep in their army. Russia would get some of these contested regions, with guarantees, though, that, Ukraine would be able to access the Black Sea for, transporting grain. Something that was very interesting to me was $100 billion in Russian frozen assets would be used to redevelop Ukraine that's been really, impacted by this war. So a lot of moving parts. Obviously, as we've talked about in the past, anytime these conversations are happening, it's just a small positive that we're even having these conversations. I think they're getting closer to a peace deal, but I don't think anyone can celebrate yet because it's not a done deal by any means.
To your point, encouraging to see that dialogue is continuing. We will keep a close eye on this and see what perhaps develops in the weeks ahead. Another growing geopolitical point of interest is Venezuela, where recently President Trump had called for a closure of Venezuelan airspace, which is a notable development. Can you remind us, Shane, of how we got to where we are here today with Venezuela? What kind of role could the U.S. play going forward in terms of what the objective is? Where do you see this going from here?
Yeah, the U.S.-Venezuela relationship has really been strained for decades now. With not only current Venezuelan President Maduro, but his predecessor, it's not been a strong relationship. And there's been often verbal jousting, but this is a new level to the relationship where we've seen President Trump take a much more aggressive stance towards Venezuela. And specifically, he is going after narco-terrorism, drugs being sent from Venezuela to America. And so what you've seen in the past few days is the Department of War, taking action against some of this narco-smuggling in the Caribbean waters. And that has led to some actions that are, even being questioned by Republicans on Capitol Hill, who are a little concerned that this is maybe a step too far and may have crossed the line, not only in terms of what action they believe should be taken, but, has the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, engaged in possibly a war crime with some of these attacks on these drug smuggling operations. So, President Trump and Venezuelan President Maduro apparently had a phone call. We have not heard many details of what was discussed. But, you know, I think, you know, the tensions are higher, especially as you noted that President Trump said, you know, the airspace around Venezuela was shut down over the weekend, which led many to believe that, you know, U.S. planes would be going over Venezuela, and that did not happen. There was no, you know, bombing by U.S. military in Venezuela proper. So, you know, I think tensions are high, and, you know, I think it's going to remain that way for a few more days, if not weeks right now. So this is a very fluid situation.
Yeah, a lot there to watch for as this continues to develop. Before we close out, Shane, if we come back stateside, I know Congress has returned to Washington following the Thanksgiving holiday recess. What will be some priorities of Congress through year end and into January 2026?
Yeah, Congress has a full plate ahead of them. Maybe not as full as, you know, my Thanksgiving Day plate, but they have a lot on their agenda. You know, start with, as we've talked about, the current government funding goes through January 30th. So government funding will be a hot topic for the next 2 months. Now, if we get to the point where we're faced with another government shutdown on February 1st, remember it would be a partial shutdown because the bill that has already passed funded, you know, legislative operations, which is Congress, agriculture, as well as veterans benefits and military construction. So those things are set in stone until for the remainder of the fiscal year, which is end of September 2026. So it would only be a partial shutdown. However, lawmakers don't even want to be faced with that and are going to be spending a lot of time to see if they can finish off the majority, if not all, of government funding plans for the remainder of the fiscal year. Obviously, healthcare is a huge topic and will be consuming a lot of time with the expiration at the end of this month of Obamacare subsidies. You know, a number of things going on here. There are, you know, bipartisan talks. There are partisan efforts to figure out if something can be advanced. But, you know, I think the big question mark is what President Trump is going to do, as, you know, Republicans will probably need him to lead the charge on anything that moves forward, since it would require his signature at the end of the day. So this is fluid, and I think we're going to see a lot of developments over the next 2 weeks. Additionally, Congress will work on things like the National Defense Authorization Bill, which is a top priority. This is a bipartisan bill that has been done for over 60 years now and accomplished every single year by Congress. And so I think, you know, this will get done, and I think it'll get done in probably the next 2 or 3 weeks. Initially, you're seeing a lot of focus on the issue of affordability. I don't think Congress is really going to achieve anything monumental in the next 2 months on affordability, but you're going to hear more and more talk about it, and we'll see what kind of plans they develop for 2026, and if there's actually anything meaningful they can do on affordability in 2026. So a lot going on, Dan, and I think it's going to be a busy, you know, sprint to the holidays and beyond.
Yep, a lot for us to keep track of and talk about in the weeks ahead as we begin to close out 2025 and, of course, look ahead to 2026. Though, Shane, as always, very generous with your time. Thank you for spending some time with our listeners, our clients here on the podcast today. And do, as always, look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Dan. Always good to be with you.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. And as always, for our listeners and clients, do want to point out that you can now reference the latest Washington Weekly publication, which is available for you up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.